You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
What is the most shocking thing someone confessed while on their deathbed? Story 1. I'm a medical student, and we had a new female patient come into our clinic who was living with a long-term health condition. I had to ask her how she got it, whether it was through close contact or from using shared needles. She told me it happened through close contact. The only reason she even got tested was because of something her partner said before he passed away. They had been together for 3 years, and his last words to her while he was in hospice were, "I'm sorry, I wanted to tell you. Please forgive me." That really stuck with her. Just to be clear, he passed away from cancer, not from the condition she has. Some people think he had the same illness and that she already knew, but that's not true. Also, she's been living with it for 20 years, has no symptoms, and her health numbers are excellent. With today's medicine, this condition isn't considered a life-ending diagnosis anymore for most people. Story 2. I have both a good and a difficult story to share. I'll start with the good one. It wasn't exactly on her final day, but close. My aunt was very sick with a serious illness. She knew she didn't have much time left, maybe less than a week. She couldn't eat anymore, and even drinking water was hard. She decided she wanted to stay asleep for her last few days. She said, "This whole process is exhausting, and I've had enough." So the doctors were called, and a plan was put in place. Just before she was put into deep rest, the last thing she said was, "Ah, I see the stars. They're sweet and run carefree. Gather them up." Then she closed her eyes and never woke up. She passed away 3 days later. No one knows what those words really meant, but they felt like something she would say. Her husband thought they were beautiful and meaningful, so he got them tattooed on his chest close to his heart. Now the difficult story. Another one of my uncles had been in a serious car accident. On the way to the hospital, while he was in the ambulance, he said, "Tell my wife that Wendy is my daughter, and I love her." Name changed for privacy. He passed away a few minutes later from injuries. The thing is, Wendy was the 5-year-old daughter of their neighbors. That statement caused a huge wave of confusion and family drama. As you can imagine. Story 3. My mom was born in China, though we now live happily in a European country. A few years ago, we went back to China to spend time with my grandmother during her final weeks, as she was very sick with a serious illness. In her last days, my grandmother asked to be alone with my mom. During that time, she shared a secret she had never told anyone before. My mom wasn't her biological child. She explained that many years ago, when she couldn't have children of her own, she took in a baby through an unofficial adoption. Sadly, during that time in China, things like this were not uncommon. My mom cried a lot, not just because of the news, but also because she realized her birth parents might have gone through a lot of pain, not knowing what happened to their baby. Still, my grandparents had loved her deeply. They raised her like their own daughter and gave her everything they could. They were never unkind to her. In fact, they spoiled her with love and support, even sending her to study in the United States, even though they weren't wealthy. Story 4. A few weeks before my grandfather passed away from heart problems, he shared some stories from World War II that changed how I saw him and how I saw war in general. Before I go on, I want to say this. My grandfather was one of the kindest people you could ever meet. He was always friendly, never drank, and would help anyone who needed it. On Halloween, he gave out the biggest candy bars in town. Everyone loved him. Right after D-Day, he was part of a 12-man squad fighting in northern France. One day, they walked into a village that looked empty, but it wasn't. They were suddenly attacked by a group of enemy soldiers, and the fight was intense. In the end, only 3 members of his squad were still alive. One of them was badly hurt. Their leaders were gone. My grandfather and the other surviving soldier checked the area and found 3 badly injured enemy soldiers. He told me he looked at his fellow soldier and said, "No prisoners," and ended the life of one of them. He admitted he was shocked at how intense the moment was and almost got sick. The other soldier raised his weapon to finish off the remaining 2, but my grandfather stopped him. He didn't want the noise to attract more enemy troops nearby. Instead, they moved the wounded soldiers into a ditch with shallow water and ended their lives quietly. My grandfather told me that after that day, he held a deep anger toward enemy soldiers. He admitted to doing other things during the war that he was not proud of, like harming enemy fighters who were trying to surrender, and even hurting civilians during raids. Something, he said, many soldiers did back then. But there was one moment he said he truly regretted. In early 1945, he and his unit entered a small village. They broke into a house and found an elderly woman in a wheelchair. She started yelling at them in perfect English. My grandfather admitted he got angry, tipped her wheelchair, rolled it outside, and then accidentally knocked over an oil lamp as they left. The house caught fire. He looked me straight in the eye and said, "That was too much. She was just an old lady. I should have handled it differently." That moment really stayed with me. It was the first time I saw how war can change people, and how even good men can carry heavy burdens. Story 5. My dad had a serious health issue and was on strong medication. Before going in for surgery to find out what was wrong, he tried to write me a letter to share how he felt. He could barely speak before the operation. He gave me a kiss, had tears in his eyes, and handed me a folded note that said, "Only open if I don't make it." While he was in surgery, I opened it. I know I wasn't supposed to, but I needed to know. The paper was filled with scribbles, nothing I could read. My heart sank because if he didn't survive, I'd never know what he wanted to say. That thought would have stayed with me forever. Thankfully, he made it through the operation. But things got worse. He picked up an infection during his stay because the hospital staff didn't take good care of him. He ended up in hospice care. Later, he told me with a smile, "That note probably said how much I loved you and wished I'd done more for you. Just regular dad stuff. He's honestly the best." Story 6. One of my high school friends lost his grandmother this past summer. After she passed, the local newspaper wrote an article about her, and it turned out she had lived an amazing life that most of us never knew about. She had used a wheelchair since she was 7 because of an illness. But during her first year of college, a coach saw her doing some really impressive tricks. That moment changed her life. She went on to become a Paralympic athlete, competing in both London and Tokyo, and won several medals. On top of that, she raised 2 kids on her own, while her husband managed their family tax and accounting office. She never talked about her accomplishments, so I only knew her as someone who used a wheelchair and ran a business. But now, I realize she was truly inspiring. Story 7. This didn't happen exactly on my dad's deathbed, but it was close. He was very sick and couldn't speak afterward. Before that happened, he shared something with me that completely changed my understanding of our family. He told me I had a sister I never knew about. Before he married my mom, he had a child with another woman. His parents didn't want the news to get out, so they gave the woman money to stay quiet and go her own way. That was 18 years ago. Now my sister and I are good friends, and she's become a welcome part of our extended family. Side note, I know this may not sound as dramatic as some stories, but in our world, it was a major secret. We come from a very traditional, well-off Southern family. Things like this just didn't happen, or at least they were never spoken about. The real shock for me was realizing that nearly my entire extended family, including my mom, who was divorced from my dad by then, already knew. Everyone had kept it from me and my brother because my dad asked them to. I think when he knew the end was near, he finally let go of that secret. And maybe in some way, It gave him peace. Story 8. My grandpa had been asleep most of the day, and around 2 a.m., he suddenly woke up. My cousin and I were staying up to keep an eye on him and alert my mom, who's a nurse, if anything seemed wrong. He sat straight up, looked right through me like I wasn't there, and started talking. But not to us. He was speaking to his sister who had passed away many years ago. He loved her deeply and always said how much he missed her. He said, "Hey Lena, I've missed you. It hurts." Followed by soft mumbling and sounds we couldn't really understand. The strange part was how real it felt, like he truly saw her standing right where I was. He never even acknowledged us in the room. It honestly gave me chills. The second memory is one I hold close. It's from when my grandmother, on the other side of the family, was in hospice care. We had always joked about life and how wild it was that she had outlived the others, even though she smoked, enjoyed a drink now and then, and stayed up all night.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Watching TV. She was my best friend growing up, and I wish I had known it would be the last time we'd talk. She was lying in her hospital bed, and I held her hand. She looked at me and said, "I'm ready now." I asked, "You want the Jell-O now, Grandma?" She laughed hard and said, "No, I'm ready. I'm ready to go chase rainbows." Then she closed her eyes and said she was tired and wanted a nap. As we were leaving, my 2-year-old son looked at her and said, "I love you." It was only the second time he had ever said those words to anyone. I'm tearing up just thinking about it. She was such an amazing person. I miss her every day. Story 9. This comes from the deeply religious, traditional side of my family. When my great-grandmother was near the end of her life, she shared a secret she had kept for decades. Her mother was actually Native American. Back then, in their small town in North Carolina, her mother had lighter skin and was able to live as if she were part of the white community. But when she passed away, the truth came out. Because of that, the town refused to let her be buried in the main cemetery. Instead, they left her headstone in the cemetery, but buried her body in a cornfield nearby. Then, the town just acted like none of it had happened. After hearing that, a relative found an old photo of my great-great-grandmother. I was honestly surprised anyone ever believed she wasn't Native. She had very distinct features and, to put it lightly, didn't exactly match what people expected back then. One family member joked that she looked like a younger Jeff Goldblum in a dress. Edit, I made this post before bed, and when I woke up, a bunch of people were asking to see the photo. I texted my dad since he has it, but now he's doing that dad thing where he wants to talk forever instead of just sending the picture. I'm working on it, promise. Edit 2. My dad says he can't find the picture. He moved out west a few years ago and thinks it's in storage, though I'm pretty sure it's still hanging on his wall. I keep bugging him. I'm not giving up. In the meantime, he did find a picture of her brother, my great-great-great-uncle, Nehemiah. I'm not sure what happened to him, but at least now we have one piece of the story. Story 10. When I was 15, we had to say goodbye to my dog because of a serious heart condition and internal bleeding. He was only 7 years old. It was a really sad moment for our whole family. Dot. As things were quiet and peaceful, I went to gently pet him one last time. But instead of a calm goodbye, he growled at me. Not at anyone else in my family, just me. It felt like his final message to me was, I haven't forgotten. Now here's some backstory. 2 years before he passed, my dog, Tucker, started acting differently toward me. Before that, we had a great bond. He loved me, and I loved him. But after I hit a big growth spurt and got much taller, something changed. He seemed to dislike me more and more. Our relationship never really got back to how it was before. And I guess that moment during his final goodbye showed it. It stung a little, but looking back, it's kind of funny in a weird way. He had a big personality, even at the very end. Story 11. My grandfather and I were never that close, even though we all lived in the same house. We were two alike, both stubborn and always thinking we were right, so we often clashed. We loved each other, but we didn't talk much. One day most of the family was away on a trip, and it was just me and my siblings taking care of him and my grandmother. That's when his heart condition got worse. We took him to the hospital, and the doctors told me, "This is probably the end." I passed that on to him, and he just nodded and said, "Yeah, I figured." I stayed by his side every day, studying for my exams while sitting with him. Even then, we didn't say much to each other. A few days before he passed, the rest of the family flew back to be with him. A week after he passed, my mom told me something that really stayed with me. While I was out taking one of my exams, he told her that he was very proud of me for stepping up and holding things together. He admitted I wasn't lazy or selfish like he once thought. We never got that final hug or moment of deep understanding, but knowing he felt that way means the world to me. Even if we didn't say it out loud, I'll always carry that quiet connection we had. I'll never forget him. Story 12. I didn't have the best relationship with my grandfather on my dad's side for a lot of reasons. I looked a lot like his ex-wife, which seemed to bother him. I was raised differently than he believed was right, so he'd try to correct me, which often left me upset. He mostly ignored me when I was younger and would try to make up for it by giving me money or gifts instead of spending time with me. I used to joke that he didn't like me because I was a girl. He had only sons, and my dad only had daughters. Deep down, I always wondered if there was some truth to that. He spent his final years in a care home, and it was a long, slow goodbye. My dad visited him often, and during those visits, my grandpa finally opened up. He admitted that what I had always joked about was actually true, and he said it with deep regret. That hit me harder than I expected, but I forgive him. He was truly sorry for the way he acted, and he admitted his mistakes. That honesty mattered, even if it came late. Story 13. My mother-in-law used to work in a nursing home, so she had been around many people in their final moments. But one experience stayed with her more than any other. One day, a patient who knew their time was near called out, asking for someone, anyone, to listen. My mother-in-law went to sit with them. The patient shared something they had kept secret for their entire life. When they were young, their father had been out one night with some friends. On the way home, something terrible happened. He accidentally hit a little girl, about 3 years old, and instead of calling for help, he and his friends panicked. They made a tragic decision to hide what had happened, and they buried the child under the front steps of the house. The patient gave very specific details about the time and place. They had lived their whole life carrying that secret and the guilt of never speaking up. They didn't want to pass on without telling someone, and they hoped that by sharing it, the little girl's family might one day get the answers they never had. Story 14. Thankfully, these didn't end up being his last words, but wow, they made me appreciate him even more. My best friend has a grandpa who's kind of a sweet old grump. He's been slowing down with age, but we all love him. Last year, he got really sick and had to be taken to the hospital. He wasn't thinking clearly at times and was a bit confused. My friend called me and asked if I could come visit, since his grandpa pretty much thought of me as part of the family. So I made the trip and told my friend to keep me updated. At the time, we all thought it might be the end, and we wanted to make sure we had the chance to say goodbye. Then I get a call. I pick up, worried, but all I hear is my best friend laughing like crazy. He says, Grandpa wants to know if you're okay. I'm confused. Yeah, I'm fine. He goes, he's panicking because he thinks you shot yourself in the foot. At that point, I couldn't stop laughing either. I'm in the Army Reserves, and even while seriously ill, this old guy was stressing over the adopted grandkid, possibly hurting himself. He's doing much better now, and that memory still makes me smile. Story 15. This wasn't exactly a deathbed moment, but it happened shortly after someone received a serious diagnosis. A woman started messaging me on Facebook. I replied politely, thinking she had the wrong person. At first, she seemed kind and harmless, but then she began saying things like how beautiful I was as a baby and how she knew my parents. That raised some red flags for me. I thought maybe she was trying to scam me or get something from me. Even the details she shared about my family felt suspicious. Then it all came out. She was the mother of my long-lost half-brother. My family had been searching for him for over 35 years. Why we could never find him. All we had was a baby picture she had mailed before disappearing. We only knew his nickname, which was based on his middle name. He was using the last name of someone she had married when he was still a baby. No one in our family knew any of this, because she completely vanished, back in the 80s, when it was much easier to disappear without a trace. She told her son that her ex-husband was his real father. Even that man didn't know the truth, neither did the boy himself. But recently, my dad, his actual father, finally got to meet him. They took a DNA test, and it confirmed everything. He's definitely my brother. This woman, though, caused a lot of emotional damage to her own son. And now, after all those years, she decided to reach out. Was it to free herself from guilt? We may never know, but it hurt a lot of people. Story 16. Before my grandfather passed, he admitted something shocking to my grandmother, who had divorced him about 10 years earlier. He told her that early in their marriage, he had been secretly involved with her mother. According to him, she gave him money for gambling, and he hinted that some of my grandmother's youngest siblings might have actually been his. Just to add more context, my great-grandmother, my grandma's mother, was a deeply difficult person. She had 13 children, 4 husbands, and was known for treating people very badly, including her own family. My grandfather, on the other hand, struggled with gambling his entire life. I barely knew him until he got seriously ill near the end of his life. Nothing ever really came of this confession. I didn't even know about it until a few years ago. My grandmother chose not to stir up old pain, especially since most of the people involved had already passed away. Story 17. When my grandma, on my mom's side, passed away, she had spent about 3 weeks in a state where she wasn't fully awake, kind of like dreaming but still aware. During those days, she kept telling my mom that there was a boat waiting for her. Her house was by a lake, and her bed faced the water, so it was something she could see often. She would ask if it was okay for her to get on the boat. She also talked to family members who had passed away long ago, people I never even met. This happened often, like she was caught between here and somewhere else. One day, she asked again if it was okay to leave on the boat. This time, my mom gently told her, "It's okay if you want to." A few hours later, my grandma passed peacefully. A strange thing happened after that. Her watch, which was sitting in another room, stopped at the exact time she passed. And that's not the only odd thing that's happened in our family. When an uncle, who I never got to meet, passed, one of his old cars, which hadn't worked for years, suddenly started on its own. And when my dad's mother passed, the doorbell at my parents' front gate rang, but no one was there. You can see the gate from the kitchen, so it wasn't like someone could ring and run without being seen. It's a little eerie, but also kind of comforting. Things like this just seem to happen in our family. Story 18. My grandpa was basically my dad, even though we weren't related by blood. He helped raise me and meant the world to me. He passed away from a serious illness in 2011, and during his final days in the hospital, my family and I took turns staying with him. On the day I was with him, he wasn't fully himself because of the pain and the medicine. After one moment where he seemed really out of it, he suddenly sat up in bed, swung his feet over the edge, and then just stopped, like he froze in place mid-movement. Then, from this man who never really talked about beauty or art, He was more of a life lessons and solid advice kind of guy. Came words I'll never forget. He said, "Majestic Park, look at the sky, it's beautiful." So I looked, and honestly, the sky did look kind of like a painting, peaceful and soft, like something out of the Seine at Argenteuil. And I know nothing about art, by the way. Then he added, "I'm so proud of you and your mother." What really got me wasn't just that he noticed the sky. It was hearing him say he was proud. That meant more than I can explain. I was so overwhelmed in a good way that I had to call off my evening shift. I really miss him. Story 19. Recently, my father passed away. Before he did, he sent each of us a personal letter. Mine began with a request, not to share what was written, and to destroy it after reading. But no one knows who I am here, so here it is. When I was younger, the older of my two younger sisters and I had a close relationship that turned into something more. It lasted for years. We almost got caught, and eventually we ended things. My father seemed to suspect something, but he never said anything openly. In the letter he left me, he revealed something that completely changed how I saw everything. She wasn't actually my biological sister. It made sense in a way. Both heroes shared similar features, but I only ever felt that kind of connection with her. Somewhere deep inside, we must have known the truth, even if we didn't say it. She never found out, and now she never will. I miss her deeply. I miss what we had. Story 20. For years, my grandma always complained about how my grandpa made eggs. My mom even told me stories about how, as a kid, she would hold the eggs in her mouth and spit them out at school. When we were little and stayed over at my grandparents' house, my grandpa would make us eggs in the morning. I always thought they were fine, but my grandma never ate them. It became kind of a running joke in the family. My grandpa didn't seem to care. He just kept making them the same way. Later on, my grandma got sick and had to go in and out of the hospital. She would joke with the nurses and tell them how much she disliked my grandpa's cooking, especially those eggs. My aunt was the last person to visit her. I was supposed to go see her that Friday, but the night before she passed away, my grandma told my aunt something unexpected. She actually liked my grandpa's eggs all along. Story 21. This might not be exactly a final word story, but it's still something that really stayed with me. My uncle passed away, and none of us even knew he had lung disease. He didn't tell anyone except his girlfriend and one of his sons, the one he hadn't seen in 30 years until reconnecting just a year before he passed. He was distant from his four kids, so this wasn't totally unexpected, but still surprising. I didn't even know he had passed until it was already over. Because he didn't talk to us during the time he was very sick, we all thought he was upset with us, especially my dad, for moving far away to the other side of the country. But that wasn't true. That's just what we assumed. He had always been very close with me and my brother, and we were both included in his will. That made it feel even more strange that he didn't say anything during his final months. I was really heartbroken because I never got the chance to say goodbye. I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. His will caused some tension in the family. He chose to leave out two of his children, and that created problems. They had just started rebuilding their relationship with our side of the family, but after this happened, we all lost touch again. Story 22. I've got a pretty amazing story to share. My great-grandmother was very sick and near the end of her life. My grandfather, her son, had been taking care of her for about a year. Just a few days before she passed, she shared a big secret with him. She told him that he had an older brother he had never known about. Before my great-grandparents got married, they had a child together. But at the time, my great-great-grandmother didn't approve, and she made them give the baby to a family friend to raise. Later, my great-grandparents got married and had three sons together. None of them ever knew about the first child. When my grandfather heard this, he quickly searched for his older brother and found a way to contact him. He called and asked him to come visit their mother before it was too late. The man was living in Minnesota, and my grandfather was in Chicago, but he made the trip right away. Shortly after that visit, my great-grandmother passed away, but something beautiful came from it. My grandfather and his newly discovered brother stayed in touch. We later found out there was a whole part of our family we didn't even know existed. Many of them came to the funeral, and since then, we's become close. Now we plan family reunions every year, and it feels like they've always been a part of our lives. It's sad that we only met them under such heavy circumstances, but we're so thankful for the connection we now have. Story 23. Let's call my aunt Anne and her sister, my other aunt, Betty. Anne was very religious, while Betty was not. They had a childhood friend named Carol, who later married a man named John. Betty moved away from their hometown many years ago, so over time, Anne, Carol, and John became much closer friends than Betty was with them. When John passed away, he made a serious confession to Carol and Aunt Anne. He admitted that he had been involved with a secret group that was responsible for an attack on a medical facility, one that tragically led to someone losing their life. Aunt Anne, surprisingly, was proud of him for this and told him so. She later shared everything with Aunt Betty, including the confession and the group's details. She said she believed they were doing what she called God's work and saw John and the others involved as heroes. But Aunt Betty was horrified. She immediately went to the authorities and shared everything she knew. Even though the event had happened years earlier, the information could still help solve other related cases, confirm the people involved, or support existing investigations. I don't know what came of it, but Betty didn't wait or think twice. She did what she felt was right and shared everything with law enforcement. Story 24. My parents divorced in the early 1990s. Both of them eventually remarried. My sister and I had split custody, which was unusual at the time in Texas. Usually kids stayed with the mother. The man my mom married after the divorce had serious problems. He drank a lot and treated people badly. He was verbally and mentally hurtful, and once, he even tried to get physical with me. I defended myself during one moment when he attacked my mom right in front of me. I grabbed an old heavy phone and almost hit him with it to stop him. Years later, my half-sister, his daughter, told me something surprising. I wasn't around for it, but she said that before he passed, he expressed deep regret about how he treated me. He admitted he was cruel, yelling at me, pushing me away, and that he always saw me as a reminder of my mom's first marriage. He said he never felt like our blended family was really his, and my visits made him feel left out. He apologized to her for everything he had said and done to me. In my opinion, I think he knew his time was running out, and he was trying to make peace with the past, trying to clear his conscience. I never heard those words directly, but hearing them secondhand brought me some closure. Story 25. My uncle passed away last year, and before he did, he told me something that stuck with me. He warned me not to trust his wife or daughter. He said that when he went back to visit them after being away for 30 years, they took his property and land and treated him terribly. It was a heartbreaking situation. On the day he passed, the plan was for the hospital to call my other uncle when anything serious happened, but his daughter had secretly gone behind everyone's back and changed the emergency contact to herself. That way, only she would be called. When the nurses saw that his condition was getting worse, they called her and told her, "If anyone wants to say goodbye, now is the time." She told them she couldn't come because she was on a work call. None of us found out until after he passed. Then, during the 2-hour drive to the hospital, she pretended to be very upset, but it didn't feel real. When we got there and asked the nurses why no one told us earlier, they said they did call, but his daughter said she couldn't make it and didn't pass the message on to the rest of us. They said she didn't want us to know until it was over, so he ended up passing away alone. It still hurts. He didn't deserve that. Story 26. It wasn't exactly her final moment, but my grandma passed away in early 2015. She had lost her only son back in the mid-1980s to a serious illness. He was very young, about my age at the time, in his mid-20s. When I walked into her hospital room, she looked at me and said, "Mikey, is that you?" After a moment, she realized it was me, not him, and we talked for a little while. But that moment really stayed with me. On the drive back to college, a 2-hour trip, I couldn't stop thinking about it. It really hit me hard. My middle name actually comes from that uncle I never met. Mikey was the nickname everyone in the family used for him, and I've always heard that he was an amazing person. Later that same week, when my grandma did pass, something unusual happened. She suddenly sat straight up in bed, surprising everyone in the room, and looked toward a corner of the room. My mom said she had a look of surprise on her face, and then she softly said, "Mom?" She passed away a few hours later. The day she passed just happened to be her own mother's birthday. Story 27. In the days leading up to my grandfather's passing, he spent most of his time talking to my mom about making sure my grandmother would be okay. They had been together for over 70 years, and she had always relied on him. They truly loved each other for a long time, but his illness had become so painful that he was struggling to keep going. The last time we spoke to him was over the phone. He could barely speak clearly, but he kept repeating one thing: take care of her. He was talking about my grandmother. He also said he was sorry. We weren't sure what exactly he meant, but he said it with a lot of emotion. The next day, we got the call. He had passed away shortly after that phone call. The way it happened was heartbreaking and left us in shock. I'll never forget the moment we heard the news. We all cried out, but my mom especially. It was a deep, painful scream. Even though she and my grandfather had a rocky relationship for most of her life, he could be very hard on her. He had apologized to her during that final phone call. He told her he trusted her more than anyone else to look after my grandmother. That day changed everything. It still hurts to think about, but I know his last words came from love, regret, and hope that she would be cared for. Story 28. I grew up thinking that my mom's parents, let's call them Ha and Ma, had 13 grandchildren. When Ha passed away, I was told the flower arrangement at the service had one flower for each grandchild, but there were 14 flowers. I asked my mom about it, and she said the extra flower was for my Uncle HG's stepdaughter. That didn't quite make sense to me, because my oldest aunt, DM, had two stepkids, and another aunt, DJ, had three stepkids, but they weren't counted in things like this. Still, I didn't question it too much. Ha was being cremated, so there wasn't a long trip to a cemetery. 2 years later, Ma passed away. Again, there were 14 flowers. Ma was being buried, and Ha's ashes were placed with her. This time, there was a long drive to the cemetery, and I kept commenting on how strange it was that the same florist made the same mistake twice. Right as we pulled into the cemetery, my mom finally told me the truth. DM had a child years before she got married. No one had ever mentioned it before. I was shocked. And I had to be a pallbearer at the funeral alongside DM's three sons just minutes after hearing this news. It felt incredibly awkward. About 4.5 years later, DM became very sick. While in her final days, she told her four children the truth. They had an older half-brother. At the time, they were 31, 30, 27, and 26. It was a huge surprise for all of us. Story 29. My dad's mom, my grandma, had been dealing with serious lung problems caused by years of working in tough conditions. She used to work in small, closed spaces filled with thick black smoke, which damaged her health over time. One day, she collapsed. Since she lived in Mexico, my dad had to leave work and fly out right away. Before he arrived, she told my aunt that she didn't think she'd make it much longer, but she was holding on because she wanted to see her son, David, my dad. When he finally got there, she smiled, let out a quiet laugh, and waved him over. Then, she said something that broke everyone's heart. "I knew you'd do something good with your life." As she grew weaker, she managed to share one last bit of humor. She said, "I really hope St. Peter can get me a proper wheelchair." It was her way of making everyone smile, even in such a difficult moment. According to my mom, the moment she passed, my dad and all seven of his siblings began crying. My mom called to tell me, and I broke down too, right there at work. Story 30. This is from a throwaway account. My grandfather is currently visiting us from another country. He's not on his deathbed, but his health isn't great, and his wife told us this will likely be his last visit. Growing up, my mom often heard rumors that she wasn't really his daughter because she looked different from her sister. People even joked she looked too pretty, which is a terrible thing to say to a child. It was always brushed off as gossip. But during this visit, my grandfather basically confirmed it. He said that during fights with my grandmother, he would bring up that my mom wasn't biologically his and even mentioned who her real father was. He admitted that my grandmother had an affair. At first, he was hurt. But despite everything, He raised my mom as his own, and later, he helped raise me and my brother too. This doesn't change anything for us. We love him deeply, and we're grateful for the time we still have with him. It was a shock to hear, but it doesn't change who he is to our family. Story 31. I used to get back at my brother in quiet, clever ways. I'd find ways to get him in trouble while making myself look innocent and caring, though I knew exactly what I was doing. My favorite trick was at the dinner table. I'd suddenly start crying and yelling, "Ow, ow, stop it. Mom, Dad, he's kicking me under the table. Please make him stop, it hurts." He'd get sent to his room without dinner quite a few times because of that. There was also one time when he had been bothering me nonstop all day. I'd had enough. At dinner, I calmly looked at my dad and said, "You know, I think he's growing something down the side of the house." Then, I just went back to eating while everything blew up around me. To be fair, though, if anyone else ever gave me trouble, he was the first one to step in and defend me. We were close for a while, but about a year ago, I realized I just don't like him as a person. He's really self-centered and always makes everything about himself. So I stopped talking to him. My parents aren't happy about it, but at the end of the day, it's my choice. Story 32. I know I'm a bit late to share this, and it wasn't exactly a confession, but it really stuck with me. 3 years ago, my mom was diagnosed with advanced lung cancer. By the time they found it, it had already spread to her brain, chest, liver, and other areas. Things didn't look good. But even with all that, she never once complained. She stayed positive, cheerful, and never even asked for anything to help with pain. Honestly, she felt like a real-life superhero to me. As treatment went on, though, it started to take a toll on her. She got so weak that she couldn't even get into bed by herself. I had to lift her to change her clothes, help her shower, and even change the sheets. Thankfully, she had a shower with a bench and space to move around safely. One evening, after I helped her get cleaned up and tucked her into bed, she looked at me while I was lifting her legs into bed and softly said, "Thank you, S." I knew she meant thanks for getting her comfortable, but I also knew she meant it for everything I had done for her during that time. I had already planned to move back home before she got sick because I was leaving work to go back to school. So things lined up in an unexpected way. While taking care of her, I also juggled full-time classes, doctor's appointments, cooking, cleaning, anything she needed. On top of that, I was dealing with my own health stuff, like Crohn's-related tests, but I still managed to earn a 4.0 GPA that semester. I was surprised how easily school came back to me after being away from it for over 16 years. Those words from her weren't the last thing she ever said, but they were close, and they were the most meaningful. She was my mom. She took care of me when I was small, fed me, changed my diapers, taught me how to live. Of course, I was going to be there for her when she needed someone. Story 33. My dad once told me that besides the two kids I already knew about, he had other children out there. He also said that only two of his kids were from the same mother. At his memorial service, four more children showed up, on top of the two I already knew. That made seven of us there together. We later learned there might be even more kids out there, but my family didn't keep good records and nothing was ever confirmed. Most of what we heard came from some of his old friends. Strangely enough, all of us who showed up got along really well. We found that we had a lot in common, and now we stay in touch. We visit each other when we can, and it's turned into something pretty special. Story 34. My mom passed away from late-stage cancer when I was 11. During her final days, she was at home with hospice care. One day, while she was resting and on strong medication, my grandmother on my dad's side was standing near her bed. My mom suddenly woke up, looked right at her, pointed, and said, "What are you doing here? I never liked you." It might not sound super shocking, but honestly, it was kind of hilarious. It sounds a bit harsh, but there's some backstory. That grandmother had made my mom's life really difficult over the years, so the comment wasn't completely out of nowhere. My other grandma, my mom's mom, was in the room too. She tried so hard not to laugh and gently told my mom, "I thought I raised you better than that." It was one of those moments that was both funny and unforgettable, even in the middle of something so hard. Story 35. My mom once told me about the day her father, my grandfather, passed away and what his final words to her were. He was very sick and clearly near the end. At one point, he motioned for her to come closer like he had something important to say. She leaned in, expecting something emotional, maybe a loving goodbye or some wise words. Instead, he said, "The good silverware is hidden in the air vent, about 15 feet out from the furnace." She looked at him, confused. Then he added, "What? We traveled a lot, and that's where I hid it. That stuff's worth a lot." He passed away the next morning. It wasn't what she expected at all, but it's a moment none of us will ever forget. Story 36. It was supposed to be a final moment confession, but she ended up recovering. My girlfriend's mom had always claimed she didn't know who my girlfriend's birth father was. She used to say it was a blur from her wild younger years. Back in the 1980s, she lived in Orange County and had a rough lifestyle, spending time with the wrong crowd, partying, and using substances. But the truth was, she did know who the father was, and after more than 30 years, she finally told my girlfriend his name. Surprisingly, he lived less than 3 blocks away from us, in our small town in the Mojave Desert. We looked him up, and his kids looked exactly like my girlfriend did when she was their age. We never tried to reach out, though. He has a long criminal history, and based on everything we've learned, doesn't seem like a good person to have in our lives. Story 37. When my grandma thought she was near the end of her life, though she later recovered, she shared something surprising with my mom. She told her that, many years ago, when she found out she was pregnant with her, she had tried to end the pregnancy. Obviously, it didn't work, and she decided that it must have been a sign from above that this child was meant to be. From that point on, she treated my mom like her favorite. This confession deeply affected my mom. It was hard to process, especially since my grandma got better and went on living like everything was normal. Later, when my grandma passed away for real, my mom eventually made peace with what she had heard. Even though the beginning of her life was difficult, my grandma had never treated her like she wasn't wanted. She came to understand that her mom had been in a tough place back then. My mom was the 7th child in a family that was already struggling. It was a complicated story, but one that my mom has come to terms with over time. Story 38. When my great-grandfather was in the hospital near the end of his life, my dad, my cousin, and I went to visit him. As we were getting ready to leave, both my dad and cousin gave him a hug and said their goodbyes. I did the same. But when I started to move away, he reached out and grabbed my hand, holding on for a few more seconds. I had always been really close to my great-grandparents, closer than any of my siblings or cousins. But he never really showed how much that meant to him until that moment. He didn't say anything, he just held my hand. That quiet moment said everything. And because of that, losing him has been one of the hardest things I've ever had to deal with. Story 39. I'm using a throwaway account for this one. My grandpa spent his whole career in the military. He joined just after World War II ended. He had just turned 18. He and his 6 brothers all signed up around the same time. Their first experience in combat came during the Korean War. My grandpa was a paratrooper, and one of his brothers was a medic. For some reason, they were all placed in different units. During a heavy battle, my grandpa's unit crossed paths with his brother's. His brother was helping an injured soldier when he was hit multiple times. My grandpa ran to him and pulled him behind cover, holding him as he passed away. They both knew he wasn't going to make it, and that moment deeply affected my grandpa. He told me that something changed in him after that. He said he went from being a scared, inexperienced soldier to someone completely different. For the rest of the war, he said he felt no fear, only anger. He didn't talk about how many people he had to fight, just that the day his brother died was the day he felt like he became a different person. He told me, "If I told you everything I did, you'd see me as someone else. I wasn't myself during that time." He admitted that he took his pain and anger out on enemy troops, especially when he thought no one was watching. He knew it wasn't right, but said he didn't care in those moments. He was just full of rage. After the war, my grandpa was awarded a Purple Heart and other military honors, but he believed that if people knew everything he did, those honors might have been taken away. He said Korea was the only time in his life he didn't feel human. That shocked us, because in everyday life, he was the kindest man I knew. Gentle, loving, respectful. He never raised his voice, never swore, and was always patient. He had a strong, happy marriage and raised my dad and aunt with love and care. you would never guess that he had such a dark part of his past. He never shared any of this with my grandma. He only told us near the end of his life, saying he wanted to let go of the weight he'd been carrying. I believe the trauma of losing his brother and the harshness of war pushed him to a place he never imagined he could go. He went in wanting to serve his country, but grief and stress led him to a very different path. I don't know all of his story, and now I never will. But I still believe he was a good man, one who went through something that changed him forever. Story 40. My grandma's brother was in his final moments when he made a big confession to his wife. He admitted that he had been unfaithful many times with three different women. He said he was scared of what might happen to him after he passed, so he wanted to clear his conscience. But life had other plans. Surprisingly, instead of getting worse, his health started to improve. No one could explain it, but within a week, he was well enough to be discharged from the hospital. Unfortunately for him, his wife's brother was a lawyer. After hearing the confession, they took legal action, and he ended up losing almost everything. The women he had been seeing, and their children, cut ties with him. He lived for another 7 years, but without money, support, or family. In the end, he passed away alone. Some would say that was karma catching up with him. Story 41. It wasn't really a confession, but it's a moment I'll never forget. I was holding my great-grandmother's hand when she passed away. We were at the hospital, and she was struggling with the breathing machine. She told us she knew it was her time, and she wanted to go naturally, without the mask. I sat by her side, holding her hand. We talked gently, telling her how happy we were to be with her and how much we loved her. Then she looked up above my head, held my hand tightly, and said her husband's name. He had passed away many years ago. She said softly, "I'm ready to go." Right after that, her hand relaxed, her breathing slowed, and then it stopped. Rest in peace, Grandma Pauline. Story 42. This didn't happen on his deathbed, but about 2 years ago at a family reunion, I had a meaningful moment with my grandfather. He was quietly looking through old photos of himself and his first wife, who had passed away back in the 1960s. I asked him about the pictures, and he looked at me and simply said, "That's when I was really alive." He said it in front of his current wife, who he had been married to for around 40 years. They didn't get along very well, and his words definitely left a mark. That was the last thing he ever said to me. A year later, he passed away from an aggressive illness. After his passing, we found out something even more upsetting. His current wife didn't treat his children from his first marriage as her own. In fact, she didn't even include them in his will, cutting them out completely. It was a tough thing to learn, but that one moment at the reunion made it clear where his heart had always been. Story 43. My mom and her dad grew up hearing stories from my great-grandmother about how she was the daughter of a Cherokee woman who had run off to join the circus. It was a fun and interesting story that we all believed. My great-grandmother even taught us rain dances and shared traditions she said were part of her culture. Her home was decorated with Cherokee-style items, and she even looked like she might have Native American heritage. One of my older cousins even got a college grant based on the idea that we were 1/16th Native American. But when my great-grandmother was near the end of her life, she told my grandpa the truth. She had made the whole story up. In reality, her mother was a woman of European background who had a rough life and left her at an orphanage when she was very young. It was a big surprise for our whole family, and a reminder that sometimes the stories passed down aren't always what they seem. Story 44. I'm a bit late sharing this, but better late than never. My grandfather, on my mom's side, passed away a few years before I was born. He lived an interesting life. He had early stock in Coleman, and even invested in the first plastic milk cartons. He was adventurous and full of energy, but he also drank a lot and was a heavy smoker. Every Saturday morning, he had a routine. He'd go to a small donut shop somewhere in Massachusetts. I'll have to ask where exactly. Smoke a whole pack of cigarettes and eat a dozen donuts. The man only weighed 180 pounds. I still don't know how he managed that. One Saturday, he told my grandmother that something felt off and even said it might be his last day. He went to the donut shop like usual. After taking a sip of his coffee, he looked at the clerk and said, "Well, this really stinks. Then, right after that, he collapsed. His head fell forward into the cup. He passed away on the spot from a sudden health issue. Story 45. In a small town in New Hampshire, a man made a shocking confession. He admitted that he had helped his son, who was the local police chief, bury someone behind the son's house. The person buried was the chief's best friend. The confession led authorities to move a utility shed on the property, and sure enough, a body was found underneath. It was confirmed to be the missing friend. Things got even stranger. The police chief had divorced his wife and later married the missing man's widow. That's right, he ended up marrying the wife of the man who had been buried in his own yard. Even with all this, there wasn't enough direct evidence to prove in court that the police chief was involved in his friend's death. His father, the only person who confessed, had passed away. So without more proof, the case couldn't go forward. He didn't face any charges, but the fallout was still serious. His second wife left him, he lost his position as police chief, and although he kept working in law enforcement, he could only find jobs in smaller towns after that. Story 46. Everyone in my family knew that my older aunt was adopted, but my grandma never wanted to tell her who her real parents were. She kept it a secret for years. Not long before my grandma passed away, she finally shared something with my mom, who isn't biologically related to my aunt. She said that she never actually knew who my aunt's birth mother was, but she was pretty sure that my grandpa was her biological father. This news broke my aunt's heart. She found out far too late who her real father likely was, especially since my grandpa had already passed away about 13 years earlier. Honestly, I had a feeling something like this would come out eventually. My grandma wasn't the kindest person, and she kept a lot of things to herself. Story 47. I recently found out that I had an uncle I never knew about. His mother confessed on her deathbed that he was actually the child of a relationship between her and my grandfather, who were first cousins. The man he had believed was his father for his entire life didn't know the truth. His parents had gotten married before she started showing signs of pregnancy, so no one questioned it. After learning the truth, this new uncle reached out and called my grandmother. But sadly, he missed meeting his biological father, my grandpa, by just 3 months. He had passed away shortly before that. Back during the Great Depression, my grandfather had lived a very rough life. He traveled the country by hopping trains and spent some time staying with his cousins. That's apparently when everything happened. It was before he met and married my grandmother. When my mom and her siblings found out, they were actually excited to welcome this new family member. But he told them he wanted to talk to his own family first. After that, he stopped returning calls, and we haven't heard from him since. We're not sure if he ever shared the truth with his family, but we've respected his decision and given him space. Story 48. I'm just using this as a way to help myself heal. Feel free to skip it. My grandmother on my dad's side was an incredible woman. She lived through so many experiences, some amazing and some very painful. She lost her son in a tragic way and eventually found the strength to leave my grandfather, who had treated her very badly for many years. Sadly, not long after the divorce, she had a car accident caused by low blood sugar from her type 1 diabetes. Her health went downhill from there. In 2006, her condition got worse very quickly, and she ended up in the hospital for the last time. That week, a big storm had knocked out our power. The day it finally came back, the phone rang. It was my great uncle, calling to say we needed to get to the hospital as soon as possible. We were there within 2 hours. Only one person could go in at a time to see her. I had always been very close to my grandma. When I was a struggling teen, she helped me through one of the darkest times in my life. But when I went into her hospital room, she didn't recognize me at first. She introduced herself and asked if we had met. I started crying. I'm actually crying as I write this. I still miss her so much. Then she remembered me. I think she started crying too, but that part is a little blurry in my memory now. What I do clearly remember is what she said next. Keep doing good things. I hadn't even started college yet, and those words felt so heavy. I spent years trying to figure out what she meant. I'm still not completely sure. I'm trying though. I still worry that I won't live up to what she hoped for me. She lived through so much, marrying young because she thought she had no choice, having children under pressure, nearly being forced to end a pregnancy she wanted, finding out her husband had another life in secret, and even dealing with the destruction of her home and family history. On top of all that, she lost a child and their partner in a tragic event. She carried so much. She passed away at 62, just when she was finally beginning to live for herself. I was 18 at the time. The doctors explained her condition, and even though my dad and uncle had already agreed to let her go peacefully, they asked me what I thought. I said yes. I stayed in the room with her when she passed. Before she went, she opened her eyes wide and looked around the room, then let out a sound I'll never forget. The doctor told me it was most likely just a natural reaction from her body, and I believe that. I've seen similar things in my own line of work. But even knowing that, I still feel like I failed her. I hear that sound in my mind and wish there was something more I could have done, even though I know deep down there wasn't. I just miss her. She understood me in a way no one else in my family ever did. Read to help you do that. Story 49. This story is secondhand, but it's something my wife shared with me. Her grandmother, the one who raised her, believed that when someone is about to pass away, their loved ones who've already passed come to guide them. But she wasn't a kind person. According to everyone who knew her, she treated people poorly. On her deathbed, her last words were whispered in a quiet, frightened voice. They're not coming. Later, my wife was raised by her step-grandmother. This woman never really showed much affection or care toward her while she was growing up. But when she was near the end of her life, she looked at my wife and told her, "I've always loved you." My wife replied honestly, "You had plenty of chances to show it." Story 50. This isn't exactly a final moment confession, but I found out something big the night my mom passed away. I always believed the woman I called my grandma on my mom's side was my real grandmother. Turns out, she was actually my step-grandmother. My dad was with my mom at the hospital that night, so I didn't have anyone around to talk to about this surprising news. It was a strange and emotional thing to learn at such a hard time. A little side note, both my mom and I lost our mothers to the same illness before we turned teenagers. I did get my red hair from my mom, though. Funny enough, most of the women in our family color their hair to look like mine, so I guess that's one small bright spot in all of this. Story 51. About a year before my grandfather passed away from lung illness, he once told me he had something important he wanted to share, but said it wasn't the right time. Later, during our final phone call, I was about to tell him that my boyfriend had proposed to me and that I was getting married. I wanted him to be the first to know. But before I could say much, he told me he needed to use the restroom and would call me back. Right before he hung up, I asked if he remembered that thing he had wanted to tell me. He laughed a little and said, "Now's not the time." After that call, he started having more trouble moving on his own. They moved him to a care center, but he passed away before he even reached the room. To this day, I still don't know what he wanted to tell me. I really wish I had told him about my engagement, or pushed him to share his secret anyway. Story 52. My great-grandmother passed away in July at the age of 105. She had severe memory loss for a long time, so she didn't remember who I was and could barely recognize her own children. She lived in a care home for the last 15 years of her life. During the final 5 years, something strange started happening. She seemed to sense when someone was close to passing away. She would sing "Amazing Grace" whenever it was about to happen. The nurses said it happened every single time. Whenever she sang, someone in the home would pass not long after. The part that gave us chills was the last time she sang. She sang "Amazing Grace" just like always, but that time, no one else passed away. A few hours later, she lost consciousness. That same night, she passed peacefully.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.